So, as you know, Texas is now the largest cotton producer in the nation. Last year, 44.7% of the cotton produced in the U.S. was produced in Texas. And you know also that Texas, for quite a few years, had a reputation of producing basically short cotton, you know, one-inch type cotton. So if you look at the evolution of the percentage of the production at or above the international base for length, which is 35 staple, in 2000 it was, you know, barely above 10%. And last crop, it was 84.9%. So a huge improvement in fiber lengths just in a few years. So I've never seen this before anywhere in the world. Such a huge shift.
Except India. We do not have done a lot of
work. Yeah, in India?
Yeah.
In such a short period of time. It's not very common. So when you look at the lengths produced in Texas, and for example, this year, I think for the lumber classing office, we are at 36.9 staple average. A lot of people say, okay, so with this type of lengths, basically you have Acala type cotton, and therefore you should get Acala price. Okay, when you look at the premium and discount schedule, the orange bars is San Joaquin Valley cottons, yellow is West Texas, you see that it's not exactly the case. You have, say, for 35 staple, you have around 200 points premium for West Texas, while you have 600 to 700 points for San Joaquin Valley. So why? Reason is simple. Here it's a Mulconnel distribution for last year for staple length 35 or and higher for Lubbock Classing Office and Visalia. And you see that for Visalia, you have a very narrow distribution that basically your average Mulconnel is around 4.3. And it's 4.3 every year. It's not at all the case for Lubbock. You have a much, much wider distribution. And if you look at several years, you know, everything is possible. You know, extremely low, extremely high, everything in between. So this variation in Mulconnel obviously is a problem. The second problem is the strength. When you have 35, 36, 37 staple, you want to do ring spinning. And to do ring spinning, you need strong fibers. If you look at same thing, the strength distribution for staple length 35 or higher, you are around 34 gram per tex for Visalia, you are around 30 gram per tex for Lubbock. And also a much, much wider distribution, you know, going down to 24 gram per tex up to 36 for Lubbock. So those two parameters together, very variable Mulconnel and very variable strengths and lower average strengths, make that some products that we could expect to produce with this cotton, in fact, you can't do it. So, and the main problems are fiber length distribution, fiber strength and elongation, fiber diameter, fiber maturity. Obviously, all these things are interrelated. If a fiber is immature, it's weak. If it is weak, it breaks. If it breaks, you have more short fibers, and you have a poor fiber length distribution. So if you look at typical fiber cross-section for cotton, it will look like that. If you have an immature cotton, it will look like that. You see clearly the difference. You know, these fibers that have very, very little secondary cell wall deposition are obviously weak and they will break. If you look at the variability of maturity along a plant, this is done with a fiber cross-section. We took plants in the field, harvested the first position ball from the bottom to the top of the plant and did cross-section for each. You see how steep is the drop in maturity when you go up the plant. So in West Texas, we changed the varieties. It was a big success. You know, the yields are good, the length is good, but we still are harvesting mostly with a stripper harvester. And a stripper harvester, you harvest everything, including the top of the plant. And as you can see, at the top of the plant, you have maturity values that you don't really want to see. So this is harvested, and obviously it will be broken during processing. If you look at the breaking force, it's just for three positions, bottom of the plant position 1, middle position 6, and top position 12. It's data obtained with the mantis, single fiber strengths. You can see that position 12, the fibers are extremely weak. You know, you are on average around 2.2 gram force per fiber, while for higher, lower position on the plant, you are on 5-6. So this leads to problems in fiber length distribution. And this is just an example using the Sutter web that shows you that all these little bitty fibers, you don't want them in ring spinning because it creates troublemakers. So what is the origin of most of these short fibers? If you take a mature cotton and you harvest it by hand very gently, so which means that you have to have very nice students to do that. Females only, the males can't do it. They break everything. And you know, they gently separate the fibers from the seed, and then you run this through the ethers. You will have, in this example, it's a cotton with N genning, the blue line, so genning, the red line, brother genning, the black line. Basically, they're identical, okay? What happened when the cotton is immature? This is what happened. You see that you have a huge excess of short fibers with the so and roller gene, both. Even the roller gene creates quite a few short fibers in comparison with N gene. And this is mostly due to this difference in maturity. These fibers are just weak. This is a general relationship between maturity obtained from the aphis and the short fiber content by weight, and you see that the relationship is pretty clear. When you are 0.92 and above, you know, basically you are okay in terms of short fiber, but as soon as you go below 0.9 in maturity, you increase a lot the short fiber content. So why is it important? Because as you know, short fiber content results in high loss at the cutting machine, more yarn defects, and obviously more fabric defects. And NEPs. So NEP is something like that, you know, it doesn't look threatening at all. And when you are making a coarse yarn, it's no big deal, you know. If the yarn is big, basically you don't see the NEP. Because the NEP is smaller than the yarn diameter. But if you want to make a very fine yarn, then you will see them extremely well. And obviously you don't want, if you buy a dress shirt, 80s to ply, you don't want to have defects everywhere. If you see the defects, you will not buy it. So the level of demand of the customers for this new type of varieties that we are now growing, completely different. You know, who cares if you see NEPs on a $10 jean that you bought to Walmart? You don't care. But if you buy a $100 shirt, that's another story. You care. And so we are in a transition phase right now. We had our traditional market was the open-end market for basically mass market type of products, where, you know, people are not really very demanding in terms of quality. But now we are going into this new market, ring spinning, higher hand application, and you look at what you buy, and you don't want defects. So the system has to change. It's not just, you know, changing the variety, that's great. You know, it was the step number one. Obviously, if you don't have the variety to begin with, you don't have anything. But when you have the variety, it's not over. The system needs to evolve, which means the way you terminate the crop, the way you harvest the crop, the way you gin, and the way you market. Uh, Obviously, you have a pretty good relationship between fiber nets and yarn nets in ring spinning. In this example, it's a 40s. Now, we'll show you a few results from a test we did last year with Randy Bowman. It's 30s carded yarns. It's I remove the name of the varieties to don't make anybody mad. It's three different locations, six different varieties in real environment. It's not, you know, the little bitty free lines field. It's one module per variety. It's the real thing. And you have this black line at the top is a Euster 50% statistic, 17.8 centinewton per tex. You can see that all these new varieties are much below that level and carded. The yarn CV, now the line is at the bottom. Lower the CV, better it is, obviously. You see that all the CVs are much, much higher. So the performance of these varieties in ring spinning, carded ring spinning, is far to be good. What happens if you comb them? It's still not great, but it's much better than what it was in carded yarn. You see that this 50% line is much closer from, say, the variety 2 than it was before. And same thing for the CV. So when you comb, you remove all the short fibers, and these short fibers were mature, mostly. So, which means that genetically, there is probably nothing wrong with these varieties. The problem is maturation of these fibers. They have the potential, because when you remove the short immature fibers, you can make a very decent yarn. So our problem is in the maturation of the crop. This is an example of one bale that has been combed. The red line is a length distribution by number of combing noise. We removed around 15% noise for this one. And the blue line is the same cotton, the D2 slide, so after combing. Look at the difference, it's huge. Obviously, we know that when we comb, we have short fibers in the noise. That's logical. But look at maturity and fineness. The maturity ratio of the D2 slaver 0.94 is excellent. The maturity ratio of the combing noise 0.721, it's terrible. This is in the same cotton. This is the same bale. This is also the reason why I dislike a lot the short fiber content by weight. Because if you look at the way the aphis is working, what the aphis is acquiring as a data is the length distribution by number. It's what you are really measuring. Then you make a big assumption. The assumption is, in each length group, the average fineness is the same. And you calculate your short fiber content based on that assumption. That is completely wrong. In fact, we should take into account the bivariate distribution, length maturity, to calculate the short fiber content by weight. That's not what we are doing. Then, so this was the first test. The second test, we just bought commercial bales. And 12, it was 12 bales, and from West Texas around Lubbock. The first thing that was interesting on these bales is that you have absolutely no relationship between the upper half mean lengths based on HVI and the mean lengths by number based on aphis. You know that even with a lot of imagination, you can't see any type of train. And it's not the first time I've seen this. It's pretty common. So then we decided to make Comdian, and beginning at 30s, going up to 80s. The red line at the bottom is a Euster 50%. And the blue line is the worst bale, and the orange is the best among those 12. And you can see that we are quite far from this line, especially when you try to do, you know, fine young counts. You are okay 30s or lower, but if you try to go higher than 30s, it just doesn't work. You are too far from the internationally recognized level. And why? In fact, you still have problem with the short fibers. Here it's the evolution of the correlation between short fiber content in the detoothed larva after combing, so just what remains, because even when you comb, you don't remove 100% of the short fibers. So what remains in the detoothed larva after combing and the thin places in the young. You can see clearly that when the young is pretty coarse, you know, basically you have no correlation. But higher you go into the young count, higher is the correlation, and basically it's nearly one for final young counts. So even after combing, short fiber content still have a big influence. Same thing, obviously, in the other direction for the maturity ratio. So I said, okay, my goal at the time, I thought that it was possible to make a good 30s with West Texas. And it's not. So I said, okay, let's do something different the second year. But again, 12 bales. And did 20s, 24, 26, 30, 36. But with three different levels of noise, removing 15%, 20%, 25%. Black line used to 50%, and as you can see, the only combination that works, this is delta, the averages of the 12 bales, is this one. You have to remove 25% of the fibers by combing and make a 20, which is not great. The CV, same thing. Thin places, you know, for 20 it's very good. But as soon as you are making a finer, look at 36, you are completely out of the chart. Thick places, naps. Naps are okay. So my conclusion is that if we want to compete on the international market with this type of cottons, if we don't change anything in the system, you have to remove between 20 and 25% by combing, which is a lot. And make a yarn count that is 24 or coarser, which is not exactly what you want. If you comb. If you try to make carded yarns, it just doesn't work. We just have too many short fibers and immature fibers. So to improve the carded ring spun yarn quality and expand the range of comb yarn counts, and also to lower the null percentage, we need mostly to improve fiber length distribution, which means that we need also to improve strength and maturity, because obviously if the fibers are weak or immature, they will break and change your length distribution. So these three parameters are closely interrelated, and fortunately it works. This afternoon at 1:45, Carol Mason will present results from her breeding program where she did a breeding based mostly on fiber length distribution by number obtained with the aphids. And you'll see that she got lines that are much, much better than the current commercial varieties. And that's it.